the new voice of heavy metal, a restaurateur who creates community through food, a creator of pop-up dance zones, a multimedia artist on a quest to bring wampum back to the New England landscape. These are just a few of this year's WBUR Artery 25, a collection of talented artists of color in the Boston area who are producing new and really engaging work. Arielle Gray, WBUR's arts engagement editor, joins us now to tell us about these fabulous 25. Arielle, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Tiziana, for having me.
So tell us what the Artery 25 is to start.
So a couple years ago, our team set out to highlight 25 creatives of color who were making big impacts on the arts and culture landscape here in Boston and beyond. And armed with a set of criteria, I guess you would say, we did choose 25 creatives of color, and they were our first Artery 25 cohort. So we do photo shoots, video, but beyond that, our reporters kind of do these really in-depth stories on what these artists and arts administrators are doing right now in the landscape of Boston.
I love this idea of thinking of them as creators. One of the things that struck me going through this list is there is art here, there's creation here, there's magic here for everyone, even if you're somebody who doesn't consider yourself an arts follower. So tell our listeners what they can engage with. You know, people who've been really for the last 18 months stuck at the kitchen table, what can they engage with here?
Oh, I don't even know where to start. I mean, we've got Tanasia Jones and Kadash Bennett and Pascal Florestal, who are creating new and exciting things for our theater, including, just diversifying our stages, improving accessibility in our theater spaces. We've got music on the way from Oompa, who has an album, I believe, coming out in October. We've got new music from Red Shades, another rapper. There's just so much. I really encourage people to go through the list and get acquainted with these artists one by one, because if you've been craving art over these past 18 months, this list will definitely, definitely satiate that craving.
I'm sure there are many that you really find fantastic. I wonder, was there any moment as you were getting to know these artists and their work where somebody produced something, you saw a piece of work or heard something that just stopped you in your tracks?
I think the best part about this series is getting to meet and speak with all of these artists as we film them, as we photograph them. One of the artists who really stood out to me was Elizabeth James Perry, who you actually mentioned in your opening. The way that she examines not just art, but place as a woman who is Wampanoag is just so incisive and beautiful. Her jewelry is beautiful. She's also a museum curator. So her work is really incredible, and I just find it so, so inspiring.
How do you find these artists, and how do you choose these artists?
It's quite a process. What we do is we reach out to arts organizations and arts stakeholders here in Boston and beyond, and we ask them to submit names of folks that they feel kind of fit this criteria. And after they submit those names, our team kind of deliberates, and then we kind of move on to this year we had judges. So we had Catherine Morris, Rob Gibbs, and Leila Barmero, who helped us kind of decide on this final 25 who would be on the list. Some of the criteria that we had was that these artists had to be saying something new and different in a way that we haven't really seen before. And beyond that, they really had to have made like a new body of work, something exciting for us to view, for us to discuss within the past year and a half about.
I want to key on that new body of work. You mentioned this is the second time. The first list was back in 2019. We all know what happened in 2020.
Yes.
We had a pandemic. And in the early on, you in Arts and Culture, us here in Radio Boston, much of the station covered how hard artists were hit by this pandemic. And many artists had to survive and adapt. Amanda Shea, one of the featured artists, told us earlier today about how the pandemic led her to adapt her poetry. Here she is.
Before the pandemic, I was like, I wonder what my poems would look like in visual form. What if I could translate my poetry to film? And then COVID happened, and it gave me that opportunity to develop the treatment and reach out to videographers and work with other artists who also had downtime in COVID to be able to produce some of the greatest work that I believe that I've made – in the last year.
So first, it's just incredible. It's heartening to hear someone say, I did my best work during this hard time. What were some of the other ways that you saw artists thrive, adapt, innovate, pivot during the pandemic?
I think we saw a lot of artists transform their art into a medium that would be more accessible, especially with technology. So we saw a lot of artists taking advantage of Instagram Live, going live, performing for folks who wanted to hear their music, their poetry. As Amanda said, we've seen also a lot of artists kind of focus on video, so more visual forms of their artwork, right? I think, you know, especially for a lot of maybe like artists who are more, maybe they do paintings or sculpture, I think that was definitely a little bit more difficult to pivot. But again, I mean, across the board, we've really seen artists push for their work to be seen and heard in so many different ways, really.
So I know that you have both talked about and thought a lot about the pressure that artists of color sometimes face to be topical, for lack of a better word, issue-focused
yes.
in their work.
Yes.
Pressure to make the work address, you know, social issues. Other times, the voices of artists of color are left out of those same conversations about crucial social issues.
Yes.
How did the team think about that tension in putting this list together?
I think it's really hard for artists who come from marginalized communities because so often the artwork is representative of the things that they're dealing with in daily life in our society. And so it's often through that we see art that's talking about these big issues like income inequality, racism, police brutality. But we did not want to make it a requirement for these artists to have to be saying something about their trauma, about their pain. We did not want that to be a requirement. We really believe that artists of color should have the space to explore their art as they are. They should not be required to have to say big things about big issues. I think their art and their experiences is enough.
So the spread on the website at WBUR.org on the arts and culture section is gorgeous.
Yes.
It's fantastic. How else can people connect with the Artery 25 and their work now?
You guys are free to follow us on Instagram at WBUR Artery on Twitter. But most of all, I really encourage everyone to visit the websites of these artists, follow them on their social media, support them, go to their shows, donate. All of these artists are doing so many amazing things, and literally every bit of support helps. Every bit of support helps.
All right. That is Arielle Gray, WBUR's Arts Engagement Editor. Hey, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.